50 years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slave owners, will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood? I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. Exalted. And every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day with all of God's children. Be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, tears of thee." Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring in Indianapolis. When we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last, thank God Almighty.
Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Pandora, or head on over to the website AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the articles and podcasts. Thank you for joining us tonight on this 36th Martin Luther King Day. The federal holiday began on January 20th, 1986, and we are excited for the show tonight. We've got on special guest B.B. Diamond and author of Escaping the Racism of Low Expectations, Barbara from Harlem, who are going to be dropping a lot of knowledge on us throughout the show tonight. You know, Martin Luther King Day means so many different things to different people, and I am excited for the show tonight. But first off, how are you, Rob?
Andrew, I'm doing well. I'm also equally excited to have Barbara from Harlem and B.B. Diamond on the show tonight in celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday, the day that we has been established as a federal holiday. I'm excited because Barbara is going to share with us her book, Escaping the Racism of Low Expectations. And when you look at what's happening today in our country and you think about Martin Luther King's dream, content of character, and the dream that we would all be able to get together as God's children, black, white, Jews, Asians, didn't matter. We would come together as one because we were free and we're all human beings. But when you look at the lay of the land today, there's a different story that's out there. It seems that the left, the Democrats, are pushing segregation with critical race theory. They want to celebrate the differences. When you go around to our college campuses, they have safe spaces for Black people. We don't want anyone who's not Black here. Even on some of the jobs, they want to give priority hiring for Blacks. Like, are you serious? Here, we're in the middle of COVID. You have the governor of New York City who's saying, we're going to prioritize the help of individuals who are going to get tested or retrieve treatment for COVID based upon race. Because we know systematically throughout history, Black people didn't get good health care. Okay, maybe that's true. But then to say that we're not going to give health care for everyone, only for Black people, we're creating segregation again in our schools. We're going to give preferential treatment to Black and brown kids. Well, what about the other kids who deserve treatment also? All white people aren't rich, but we don't care. Because the way the Democrats are looking at it is that it is now payback time. We need to make them suffer. They need to pay back for all the things that they've done, all the injustices. But fast forward to today, and the people that we're giving all these preferential treatments to, what are they giving back to society? Look at the crime in some of our big cities, blue states, blue cities. It pains me to say it, but when you look at it, just over the weekend, who did we see in the news committing crimes? Horrible crimes. A man shooting a teenager at a Burger King. Another man pushing a woman on the subway to her death. hijacking of cars, shootings in California and Chicago. Who's committing the crimes? The very people that we're seeing have been mistreated throughout time, down through the years. They're the ones, and I dare say who they are, but I will say it, Black and brown people. Is this the society that we want to live in? This is not King's dream. It's far from King's dream. So don't be deceived by the rhetoric of the left or the rhetoric coming from the Biden White House when he was saying in Georgia that if you're not for this voting rights bill, you're on the side of Bull Connor and all the other racist people. And then King's son even came out and said the exact same thing, and his daughter Bernice, that if you don't pass this bill, all those senators that don't pass it, you're racist. Well, when did I become a racist? When I don't want the votes to be removed from the states per the Constitution and moved to the federal government so that the Democrats can control who we vote for. They can control who's getting the money. Really? So I'm a racist because of that? I don't think so. But this is where the country is headed toward. So tonight, as I said, we have on with us our special guest, Barbara from Harlem. I have heard Barbara pray. She's a praying woman. I have heard Barbara speak. She speaks the truth and in love. And sometimes when you're speaking the truth, it cuts like a knife. But you know what, Andrew? Before long, you can get healed. You can put a Band-Aid on it and you can move forward. And we need truth speakers out there. I've oftentimes said that Barbara and her daughter, Bebe Diamond, should be running for office because their voices are the voices of America. Their voices are the voices that we need to hear out there. So without further ado, I present to you Barbara from Harlem. Thank you for joining us tonight. How are you, Barbara? How are you, Bebe Diamond?
Well, we are doing well. We are honored that you have invited us. And thank you so much for allowing us to be part of this special program. And now I'll turn it over to Barbara. Thank you.
And I can only just piggyback off what you said, Ms. Diamond, because this is such a special privilege. This is such a special celebration that we love being a part of what you're doing. God bless you.
So, Barbara, I was looking at your book.
Yes.
Escaping the Racism of Low Expectations. And I want to read the back, something that you said. And I think it holds true for so many Black people. And I think some whites who are Democrats by default. But this is what it says. I was liberal by default. I asked no questions. I had no answers. I just pulled the lever to vote for Democrats as was expected of me. Most of my fellow Black Americans do not fully understand what the term liberal means or who what they are voting for. They don't realize how harmful those liberal policies are to our freedoms and liberties as Americans. That's powerful because when I look back at my life and I look at my family, they're all conservative, socially and physically. But when it's time to vote, they will immediately move toward the Democrats. I found myself doing that, but I questioned, why am I voting for this person whose policies I don't necessarily agree with? But like you said, it was by default, as if though we're just like sheep just moving in one direction. We're getting nothing out of it, and we're just voting. Absolutely. And then you look at King. He was a Republican. Now, the Democrats will challenge you on that. Oh, no, he wasn't. Oh, no, he wasn't. His idea wasn't that you give to Blacks. He's like, be true to what you put on paper. If we're free and if we're entitled to all this, then give it to us. But yet and still, Barbara, we find ourselves voting for Democrats. So when you wrote this book, what was the nexus of it? What were you trying to say to people as a whole, Barbara?
Well, what I'm trying to say, and I think it's proven by history, the Democratic Party has such a history of racial discord from their beginnings. And a lot of us don't realize how detrimental the Democratic Party is to the Black community. I mean, even in their beginnings, they fought hard not to even have lynching become something that was a crime. They wanted to have slavery throughout all of America. And that's one of the reasons why we had a civil war. I'm studying now about this golden circle that wanted a slave empire. And well, this collapsed. However, the Ku Klux Klan picked it up. But yet and still, with the Ku Klux Klan having a history with the Democratic Party and all of the things that they've done, the Jim Crow and all of these things that they've done to harm Black people, we're still very loyal to a group of people who care nothing about Black people. And their history proves it. And what they do even today shows us that while we're going to church and saying we believe in God, we have a party now that's become so anti-God and hostile toward God. I don't see why there isn't a major awakening. And the Blacks who have been loyal to this party will say, no more. I've had enough. They expect low expectations from me, but I have been endowed by my creator, and I can think, and I'm going to think instead of being led to the slaughter.
Because Barbara, when you look at it, like your book, Escapism of Racism of Low Expectations, yes. It seems as if though there is a low expectation for Black yes. people, that we Absolutely. Can't obey the law. So we have to like lower the bar. We got to give all these special treatments because we don't understand that you can't commit a crime. And to me, you're expecting nothing less of me. You're saying that I don't have the intelligence
Absolutely.
To move within society. I don't have the intelligence yes. to be a human being and to function. So as a result, you've got to lower the standards. And if I commit a crime, you've got to, okay, wink, wink, go ahead. You just go back out there. As I opened up saying, look at the crime that has just exploded yes. under these DAs, these liberal cities. We have always said, when I say we Black people, if we were in yes. office, things would be different. We're in office now. Look at Mayor Lori Lightfoot.
Yes.
Look at the mayor of San Francisco.
Yes.
Look at Baltimore. Look all around you. I mean, I dare say, look at New York City at Eric Adams. The verdict is out, but it doesn't look good right now. Look at Alvin Bragg. Look at what they're doing to whom much is given, much is expected. We have yes. sat back and said, vote for us. Give us the opportunity. And when you're given the opportunity, you completely turn around and do something completely different. King,
Absolutely.
Martin Luther King would not be happy with this.
No.
He would not be. So Barbara, how did we get here?
Well, you know, they did a job in the 60s and the early 70s with telling Blacks, you don't need a man in the house. That started breaking down that Black family, you know, because even during slavery, the Black family was more intact than it is now. Then we started having babies by 73% of our babies don't have a father in their lives, in their home, or maybe not even the name on the birth certificate. 73%. When you have a broken family, then you have victims. So what happened was we became victims. Every time a Democrat is running practically here in New York, what do they say? Affordable housing, which means the projects. Free this, free that, free everything. Like the government now is going to be your whole source of everything that you need. And we fell for all of these gimmicks. But we've been given things, but they require loyalty. They require becoming a victim. They require forgetting that you have been endowed by your creator. It's so insulting how they even say Black people can't afford ID. I just recently, a few months ago, got a free ID in New York, and I know it's free. And for people to think or project that Black people are so infantile that we can't get an ID, but we can go get our nails done, get our hair done, we can do everything else, we can get food stamps. but we can't even get an ID so we can vote legally. They have, it's embarrassing how a lot of these so-called leftists view Black people and give people who come from different lands the impression that they must take care of us because we need nannies.
Exactly. We're here in the United States, the greatest country. When you were born here, you hit the jackpot. It's not going to be easy. Nothing is easy. Nothing worthwhile is ever easy. But to sit back and to think that woe is me and that I'm being attacked, to me, that is an insult. Because you're looking at me and you're saying that I don't have the qualifications. I don't have the withal to raise myself up. I'm so stupid and so dumb.
True.
And when
True.
We have our politicians that are out there that are constantly saying this, I mean, you look at where we are in society, and I've said this so many times, the children that are growing up now that are complaining about racism, they are growing in the, one of the most least racist societies ever, Barbara.
Yes.
I mean, they weren't born back in the 60s and the 50s when there was racism. But for some reason, our elected officials have them thinking, oh, you're burdened, you're being oppressed. There's racism everywhere you turn. And then the idea now that we're going to give preferential health care to Blacks over other individuals, because as I said, they've been suffering. It makes no sense. So you know what I would say, Barbara? I think what's happening, I think that this, I don't want to say reverse racism, it is racism.
It is, it is.
And before long, people are going to stand up and say, I am not going to have this. You're not going to tell me that you can't treat my child because my child is white, but you can treat the Black child.
Right.
They're creating the seeds of discord, Barbara. That's what's happening right now.
But that's all they have. They want everyone to think that this society is what the Democratic Party projects, and they project a vision of racism so that they can separate us, divide and conquer. That's all it is. They know that people from Haiti, Caribbean, South America, all over the world, whose skin is darker than my skin, they come here and lead successful lives. They come here and finish their education, while Sharp Tongue and others, the race hustlers, have our young people on the corner. No justice, no peace. How unfair, how cruel. And here it is, people like Al Sharpton, and I say tongue, because he doesn't work, he gets his from running his tongue. Here it is, people like him lead successful lives, have money in the bank, but they're constantly lying, and there's no other word for it. They're lying to our young people and to even to the older people that'll listen, that your problem is the white man, when our problem is broken homes, when our problem is the lack of morals, when our problem is we've turned away from God. It's not the white man that keeps us back. We keep ourselves back. We have the Black on Black crime. No one talks about that. We have the abortion of babies, Black babies, more born, more killed in New York than born. Nobody talks about that. They want to really just push Black people down into a hole. And some of us are going for it when we have been endowed by the same God that endowed them. And we have talents and we have abilities that we need to tap into and soar like the eagle.
Absolutely.
And we can do it.
Absolutely. Now I'm looking at chapter 13 of your book, Barbara. It says the propaganda dressed up as higher education, indoctrination versus education. And I've mentioned this before when I was talking on one of our shows, that Biden's Build Back Better bill, a lot of people were saying let's pass it because it's going to give early education to kids as young as two. And I caution people, I'm like, you don't want that.
No.
Because what they're trying to do is get access to your kids at an early age so they can start the indoctrination.
Early.
As That's early right. as possible. And by then it's too late. So I'm like, be careful what you're asking for. And when I'm looking here, propaganda dressed up as higher education. Could you talk to us a little about that, Barbara?
Well, I graduated from college at a late age. I graduated in 2006 because of the prompting of my daughter. And what I learned in that college that I attended that was founded by Jesuit priests was that it was more propaganda than it was reading, writing, or math. And we studied all of these philosophers when we were supposed to be learning statistics. We were learning about how imperialistic America has been in the past, when we were supposed to be discussing the English language. So it was a bunch of propaganda. I mean, every time you went to a session, I don't care what it said on the syllabus, you didn't get it. You got brainwashed. America is so bad. America is so racist. America this, America that. But yet and still, these people don't pack their bags and leave. One of my professors from Africa, he was in that same bag. And I told him, why don't you pack your bags and get out of America? I'll help you. And he wasn't going anyplace because he used to drive a cab. Now he's a professor studying to get his doctorate. And, you know, he told me, he says, well, aren't you the oldest one in this class? I said, you keep that thought. So I went down to the school administrator and reported him. And I bet you when I came back up, he was just as nice as he could be. I ended up getting an A+ out of that class. But just the idea, here it is, someone from Africa, darker skin than I have, came over here, he's teaching, getting taxpayer dollars, and he hates America. This is how twisted their mind is. This is just how twisted the left has become. They hate God so much. And I had him calling on Allah. And like I told him, I said, this country was founded on Judeo-Christian values. Maybe you're in the wrong country.
You know what I find equally interesting, Barbara, when you were saying that, is that if you point these things out to the left, yes, they become highly offensive and they immediately want to censor you, because they don't want you to say anything about God. They can poo-poo on God. They can attack God and say whatever they want to say. You look at this weekend, look at what happened in Houston. You had a radical to come in. And I would venture to say, you can't blame the left. Yes. You can't blame the right. But I will say this. You look at Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, some of the rhetoric coming from them. I mean, it's nothing to be desired. So when you look at what they're saying and their views on Israel, of course, you're going to have individuals like this young man who already has a seed of discord. And we're finding out that he was a British national. He came here. I don't know if there was a background check. That is more, all the more reason we need to watch who we're letting come over here. We have like
open borders,
50,000, I think, Afghanistanians over here that weren't truly vetted. Why did they come here? We can't bring the whole country over here. All of them didn't want to come here, but we did. Why? Because we're generous. But once you have those people here, and then they start to tear down society, and we're not supposed to say anything but look the other way, and then we want to say, well, King said that. It's like, no, King did not say that.
No,
and
he
how
did not.
Dare you put that on King? How
they
dare
lie.
You? Because what's happening now is that you're diluting the Black vote, the vote that we worked so hard for. You're diluting it by letting other people come here, by allowing them the right to vote, and they're not citizens. I mean, we're going to cover this in our next segment, Barbara. I'm so glad you could be with us. But there's just so much that we need to talk about, and people need to be aware that escaping the racism of low expectations, we need to expect more from all of our people.
Amen.
Well said, Rob. You guys are tuned into After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We'll be back with more After Dark with Rob and Andrew, a special guest, Barbara from Harlem and BB Diamond.
Because of COVID-19, many Americans worry about their health four times a day. That's 112 times per month. But by simply keeping our immune system strong, we can stay healthy and put our worries at ease. One little known way to do this is by taking AC11, a patented supplement from a plant in the Amazon rainforest. Studied for over 20 years and backed by over 40 scientific peer-reviewed studies, taking AC11 has been proven to extend the life of immune cells called leukocytes, allowing you to boost immunity naturally. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of AC11. That's HealthyCell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Had they taken the poll in Philadelphia in 1776, they would have scrapped the whole idea of independence. A third of the country was for it, a third of the country was against it, and the remaining third, well, in the old human way, was waiting to see who came out on top. Those are the words of David McCullough. Join us back at AmericaOutLoud.com and find out which of today's politicians are in which third. America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
And we're back with After Dark with Rob and Andrew, and thank you for tuning in to our special show tonight, celebration of Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. And when we opened up, I was playing for you his speech that he gave on the National Mall, I Have a Dream, and what his dream was. And I think that we have fallen so far from that dream with the left that they're trying to push and what they're telling us. It's a new form of segregation almost that they're putting out there under the guise of we're trying to make everything fair and equitable. And it's anything but fair and equitable when you look at it. Because you can't, as I've always said, you can't build up one and then tear down another. And then say, well, for all these years, they were suffering. This is what happened to them. So now we have to, you know, equal it out. That's not going to work. And I know some would say, yeah, but when you look at affirmative action had its time and it had its place. And do not doubt, there is racism in this country. It does exist. But not at the level that the Democrats are saying that it exists. And when you really look at it and you look at who the perpetrators of racism is, it's the Democrats, because they control all of the jobs. They control Hollywood. They control social media. They control a lot of the things that we do. You go back and you look at history. Where did the KKK come from? What was the purpose of the KKK? What was the genesis? Who was trying to keep Black people from voting? Once Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves, who decided to create all of these barriers so that Black people couldn't move forward? It wasn't the Republicans. The Republicans said, hey, we want to create the National Rifle Association so that we can arm Blacks so that they could take care of themselves. Who's trying to take that right from you? Who's trying to eliminate your vote by bringing in illegals and say, well, they can vote in local elections. And then the next thing you know, they're voting in the federal elections. They're voting in all elections. And who will it harm? Black people. Black people make up what percentage of the population? 13% of the population. What percentage of abortions do we have? Look at that. Look at the birth rate of Black people. We have to question these things. We have to wonder, why is this happening? We heard the other day that they want to give preferential treatment to Blacks on the vaccine. Why do they want to do that? Why is that happening? I'm sure the vaccine, as I said, has its efficacy. I've taken the vaccine, didn't take the booster. I still got COVID. So why now have they decided, oh, we want to prioritize Black people? What about prioritizing Black people with diabetes and with cancer? Why can't we get those treatments first? Why is it that you want us to get this vaccine? You're pushing that up front as opposed to everything else. Now, of course, I have nothing else to look at but to look at the Tuskegee studies during the 40s and the 50s and the 60s. And it ended, I think, in the early 80s when they were giving Black men syphilis and saying, we're trying to cure you. Now, I'm not saying that's what's happening with COVID, the vaccine, but it does beg the question, why now do you want to push Black people out front first when you know that they are hesitant about this vaccine, when you know that there are some concerns? And if they raise those concerns, it's be quiet, shut up, get at the back of the line and give me your arm. Why are they pushing this? These are legitimate questions that should be asked. And if someone says, oh, you're going with conspiracy theories, well, why wouldn't I go with conspiracy theories when I know what happened with the Tuskegee study? I have a right to ask these questions. Why can't we ask the question? Why is it now that all of these Black DAs and these liberal DAs that have taken control of these large cities, predominantly minorities that are there, Blacks, that they're being lax on the laws. Why is it? Why is it that Black people are being killed? I read the other day, a pregnant woman, 7 months pregnant, was shot in the head. Why is that? Why is it now that we've allowed these individuals to take control that the violence in our neighborhoods have increased? It goes back to what Barbara was saying, escaping the racism of low expectations. They have very little expectations of us that we can't compete and we can't do that. So we want to lower the standards. Low expectations for Black people, that we want to lower it. Why is this happening? Barbara, do you see the same thing happening in our communities? BB Diamond, do you see the same thing? What do you all have to say about it?
No, you're 100% right. And I'm glad you've raised this. Why did Pfizer request 75 years before it had to reveal it the components of the vaccine? A judge recently said Pfizer had 8 months to reveal that. I mean, these are things that we need to raise, as actually the FDA requesting it on behalf, or the CDC requesting it on behalf of Pfizer. We need to know what's in these vaccines. We remember, you mentioned correctly, Rob, the Tuskegee experiment. There was also an experiment involving Agent Orange that impacted Vietnam veterans. We need to know. When, you know, Barbara can speak to that, but when at Columbia University, they're looking for people to essentially test the booster shots. So yes, we're being used as guinea pigs. So you have a right to raise these questions. So it's like all these things are emerging from the left, the district attorneys who are soft on crime, the pushing of the vaccine. It's just like they want to keep Black people as permanent victims and make white people, and as Barbara said yesterday, permanent villains. And this has to stop. And thank you, but I just want to thank you for playing Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech at the top of the show. It was touching, it was moving, and it brought me to tears. Thank you so much.
Amen. Amen. I totally agree with you. I mean, you know, it's so insulting what they're trying to, or how they're portraying Black people. They're trying to say that we're so insignificant that they have to, you know, cuddle us and do something. The past is the past. And, you know, I have a segment in my book, Escaping the Racism of Low Expectations, that's entitled, Thank God for Slavery. And a lot of people, you know, particularly Black people, they get a little nervous when they hear that. But if it hadn't been for slavery, which God allowed, where would I be today? Where would you be today? Would we be trying to get to America? The good thing about slavery is that we were born here in America. I don't need a green card. I didn't have to leave my children or my mother or my father or anyone to escape to another country. America is a blessing. It was a blessing for my grandmother and my grandfather, who were born way before I was born. My grandmother was born in 1898. She lived a very successful life, had her beauty supply, and she had a beauty salon. She was in business. She was a business lady. They owned property. My grandfather was the first Black sheriff in DeLand, Florida. Now, there were limitations, but he made that his career, in addition to having entrepreneurial adventures on the side. My father was born in 1915, and my father was from Mississippi. And here in New York, when I was born, I never knew my father to work for anyone. My father was an entrepreneur. My father had his own body shop that he worked at until he was way up into his 80s. So tell me, where is all of the racism? Did prevent my husband and I from getting a house out there in Queens in an Italian neighborhood? This is in the 60s. You know, I'm sick and tired of these leftists always trying to portray Black people as such invalids mentally, still invalids.
Right, as if though we can't function on our own.
We can't function,
and that
right.
We need them. You know, when I have whites
Absolutely.
Tell me, these liberals, well, you don't know that you're oppressed. I'm like, oppressed by whom? Why are you trying to tell me that I'm oppressed. Again, racism exists, and it's probably coming from the left, because the moment they see that you are progressing, the moment they see that you are progressing and that you are a free thinker, they will come in and try and stifle you. You look at Winsome Sears when she won the election. You look at the attacks on her. Joy Reid couldn't say anything positive or constructive. You look at Clarence Thomas, a Black Supreme Court justice sitting there with that Black robe on. And whenever she brings him up, she's attacking him. If you were to go to the African American Museum in DC, unfortunately, you would be hard pressed to find Clarence Thomas. Now, you would find NeNe Leakes, Cardi B, and all these other folks all throughout history, as if they've done something significant. You would probably even find a placeholder for George Floyd, as if though he's done something significant. But as far as Rosa Parks, a little small footnote, and then they're moving on to these other characters who, in my opinion, are insignificant. Okay, what happened to Mr. Floyd is unfortunate. He is not a civil rights icon. He is far from that. He did not lose his life trying to stand up for my rights. Whereas you have Clarence Thomas, who's trying to interpret the law. You have Winsome Sears. You have so many others that are on the Hill. Brian Donalds. They don't give him any credit whatsoever. They walk right over them, and they will pretend as if though they don't exist. That these individuals don't exist. But it's like, put these Black people out there so that Black kids can see that they do exist. The only time they will put them there, Barbara, is when they're on the left. Al Sharpton. It's like, are you serious? A two-bit hustler who's now on MSNBC, who used to wear a jogging suit with a big chain on his neck. Yep. Now they've raised him up because they made the hustler, Al Sharpton.
Yes, they did.
And now he's on TV.
Yes.
It's like,
yes.
Really? And now I'm finding out that the individual, the woman who said that we don't need old white men at the head of the Democrat Party, Simone Sanders, she's now going to be on MSNBC spouting the same rhetoric. These people are so full of contradiction. They're so contradictory. Yes. And then they want to stand up and say, whoa, we want to claim king. And we want to say this. Had Trump gone to Georgia and gave a fire and brimstone speech like Joe Biden, people would have been all over him.
You know it. You know it.
But Joe gets to go there and he gets to race bait. He's pandering to Black people. Oh, you can't vote. It's like Black people think. They're saying that you don't need an ID, but you have to have an ID to go to a restaurant. They're saying you don't
Isn't
need an
that
ID.
Ridiculous? That's ridiculous.
Right.
Ridiculous.
You need a vaccine passport to eat in a restaurant, to work out in a gym, if I'm not mistaken. But somehow we can't get ID. Black people are too unintelligent. We're too stupid to get ID. I mean, they're insulting us. And some Black people just don't realize that.
Right. Yes, and they don't want to realize that. But Black people should wake up. It's like, wake up. In order for you to get the free money that Joe Biden is doling out, Resident Joe, you have to have an ID. But it goes back to the low expectation that they have for Black people. It is damning. It's embarrassing.
It is. And they don't even know it. You know what, though, Rob? The family is so broken. So many of our young people are going into the world unvalidated, and they don't even know what human dignity is.
They don't. They don't.
They really honestly don't. Because what these people are doing is so undignified, so low class, such a negative attitude, and the words that come out of their mouths in reference to Black people are totally insulting. They're very insulting. But if we don't have any human dignity, if we haven't been validated, if we haven't been affirmed, we don't know the difference. We have to start rebuilding that family. That family is crucial.
And that's the family that they don't want us to build. They want to keep us.
That's true.
That's disenfranchised. True. They want to keep us fighting against each other, because you look at how they're doing the black man. You look at Biden's administration and you look at the women, the black women that he's been promoting, and they always have nothing positive but to say about the black woman. But when it comes to the black man, as Maxine Waters herself said, she came out and said, "Black man, I'm disgusted with you for voting for Trump." So you look around you and you look at what's happening to our black men. They're constantly beating them down. No positive role models. And when you do have a positive role model, unfortunately, it happens to be a gay man. Not that there's anything wrong with gay men. God loves all of his children. But why can't we have a straight man out speaking the truth and love?
Absolutely.
Look at CNN. Don Lemon.
Oh, my goodness.
At Victor Blackwell. Nothing against them. Again, nothing against them. But why can't we have strong black men? And then someone said, well, Trump had none. Well, the black man that wanted to go there, look at the Surgeon General. A lot of people didn't know that our Surgeon General was black. They didn't know
that's
it because
right.
the media did not want them to know it.
Look
at Tim Scott. I talk about him all the time. A black senator. They don't want you to know it. They want you to think that, no, Republicans don't have any of them there. And I must say to the Republicans, we don't do a good job getting out there and telling our story. And we've got to do a better job.
That's true.
We have to do a better job. We cannot allow them to control the narrative, Barbara. We can't do it.
That's
right. Because it goes back to what King said. Content of character. What happened to the content of character? When do we become, we're going to look at the color, we're going to divide people by color, so many blacks here, so many whites there, so many reds here. When did it come to that? As opposed to the content of character. King gave a powerful speech.
Yes, he did.
And today we celebrated that. But we have moved so far from it, Barbara. So far from it that it is embarrassing.
That it is.
We came so close and then we went so far back. And you look at, we even had the first black president. Where's the racism? Barack Obama, he wasn't a good president, unfortunately.
No, he wasn't.
You look at Kamala Harris. She's not a good VP, resident VP, but she's there. It's not my fault that they're not good, but they're there. Mm. So where is the racism?
These are just words that they use to try to divide us. I mean, I have illustrations in my book of, you know, different places I've been in the South, in the North. And I was always able to get a job. I wasn't the first one. What was it? The first one, last one hired and the first one fired. That never happened to me. And I was in the South, in Florida. Got a good job, had a car, had a home, all of that. It's not impossible in America. If you work hard, you can have anything you set your heart on, practically. I worked. I didn't wait for a check. I had some education, some skills, and I lived a good life. My children never lived in an apartment, and I have 5 children. When my marriage collapsed, it was all on me. And I didn't have to wait for them to send me a check. I worked.
Right.
So if we work and we're diligent, we can have a home. We can have a car. We don't have to wait for the meal truck to come around to give us a meal. I'm sick and tired of people thinking that black people are we're so helpless. We need nannies. We need someone to take care of us. God has given us talents and abilities and skills. Now we have to get up, use them, and live life to its fullest.
Hey, Barbara, you look at all the billionaires, you look at the millionaires, blacks.
Absolutely.
You look at Oprah, you look at the basketball players, you look at the football players, you look at the entrepreneurs in our communities that are doing things. You look at Black Enterprise magazine that they would talk about the successes of blacks. So how is it that there's all this racism that they're pulling us back? If King were alive today, he would smile and say, wow, look at how far we've come. We still got a lot more to go. And right. one of the things that we have got to get rid of is that mindset of the Democrat Party. They're so afraid that Black people are waking up and turning their backs against them and saying, we don't need you. We are tired of you. We can do our own thing because you have given us nothing but empty promises. Look at Biden. What has he done?
For decades.
For right. decades. What has he done? Absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
He has been there for 40 plus years and he's still promising the same thing. And to me, as a Black man, and I would like to think that other Black people would say the same thing, you're talking about voting rights, you want to change it. Where in there specifically am I going to get something out of it? Because I should have an ID. I don't want people coming to the country voting and diluting my,
that's right.
my vote, coming into my neighborhood. And that's where you're going to dump a lot of these people in
that's
Black
what
neighborhoods.
They do. That's what they do.
So we should look at this and say, wait a minute. Yeah, we have compassion, but don't dilute my vote. Don't tell me to vote for you. And then you want to tell me, you want to scare me and say, oh, it's the white man, they're coming after you. And then you want to go back and look at the history. Look at my history that I overcame. We have overcome so much, Barbara.
So much.
Overcame so much, but yet you want to use that to me as a scare tactic, hoping that I will forget everything and refocus that, wait a minute. I have a job, I have a family, I have all this right. and then some, but you want to scare me and say, oh, but wait a minute, they're coming after you. They're going to put you back in chains. This is so far from what King's dream was about. It's so far.
It's so
far. This man came out and so many others that gave their lives. And then you want to someone like George Floyd at the top and tell me he's a martyr and tell me that he did something good. I don't think so at all. I don't think so. And to me, BB, to me, Barbara, it is an insult to the legacy of Dr. King to bring up these individuals, Devontae Wright, all of them, and say, Sandra Bland, and say, oh, they're right up there with them. They're right up there with the Rosa Parks. And that we should feel bad. It's embarrassing.
You're absolutely right. It's embarrassing. They're picking the worst, really, in Black behavior, if you will. And to compare like George Floyd to a Dr. King is an insult. They have just really lowered the standards of Black people. And no, Dr. King would not want to be a part of that. He would reject it. And he would reject someone, I believe, like Al Sharpton, who's nothing more than a race hustler. And they've
That's
done people like him, Joy Reid, they keep beating the drums of racism. But to your point, Rob, and it's an excellent point, if we were so racist, why is Kamala Harris, the Vice President of the United States? Why was Barack Obama elected twice, the only man to ever lead a first world country, elected twice? Where is the racism, the institutional racism they keep spouting? So it's an embarrassment. They just want to use this because they have nothing else. They are really harming Black people. They're the ones keeping us oppressed. They don't want to give us school choice. They want to lower the standards. We can't pass the SATs. They want to, and in fact, what you're saying, and I want to touch on this racism. So if you have an elderly poor white man who is suffering from COVID or whatever, and we're not gonna give him medicine today. We're gonna give this 26-year-old Black man who can work and get the medicine, we're gonna give it to him. That's pure racism, and that violates Dr. King's vision. It's ridiculous and it's upsetting. Thank you.
It is violating his vision, his dream, and everything that he stood for. And people need to wake up and be made aware of it. So Barbara, what do you do on a daily basis? I mean, I know what you do, but I want you to share with our listeners what you and BB Diamond have been doing when you're going out and you're spreading the word and you're trying to get people to wake up and see what's happening. I mean, you told me a story once that you, I don't know if you've changed it now, that you're still registered as a Democrat. But when you vote, you're not voting for the Democrats, but you're registered as a Democrat so that you can reach them and you can tell them, hey, look, this is what needs to happen. Now, some of you might say, well, she should change over. Being registered one way has nothing to do with your vote. Go ahead, Barbara.
And it has nothing to do with my principles, my beliefs, and my values. I do that so that when I approach people, they'll feel comfortable talking to me. One of the first things they always ask me is, oh, or they'll accuse me of is being a Republican, because Republican in the Black community seems to be a bad word. So I'm able to tell them honestly, no, I'm not a Republican. I'm a registered Democrat. They become more relaxed, and I'm able to tell them, listen, you know you're voting for somebody who believes in killing babies, or you know you're voting for somebody who's doing this or doing that. Do you really support that? A lot of them don't even know the platform, don't even know what's on the platform. So I get their ear. They'll listen to me. And if they're a church-going person, I'll even give them a Bible verse to substantiate what I'm saying. So I don't change the affiliation with my party, but I let them know that I stopped voting for Democrats a long time ago because they were anti-God, anti-American, and I'm not going to waste my vote on someone like that, because God has to come first. If I can't be loyal to God, I can be loyal to no one. That's it.
Wow, that's powerful, Barbara. So Barbara, when you do go out, you and BB, and you're talking to people, yes. What are yes. some of the things that you're hoping to reach them on and, you know, to get them to understand and to see?
Well, we give them a paper that explains what socialism is. We want them to reject socialism. We give them
Absolutely.
A paper. Yes. We give them a paper that shows the difference between the Democratic Party and the Republican Party so that they can look at that. We give them a copy of the Constitution with the Bill of Rights, et cetera, et cetera. We also give them a Bible tract. And I haven't had anyone tell me, no, I don't want it. And we were recently down in Daytona Beach, Florida, where we went to Bethune-Cookman University. And those students were so receptive. I told them, I said, you know, I want to give you this because as a voter in America, you're very valuable to the future of this country. And they were so good, so wonderful. Every student that I approached was happy that I guess someone who's mature wasn't getting at them for them doing something wrong and was letting them know how important they are to the future of this country. So that's what we want to do. We're headed to Washington tomorrow, Godspeed Our Lives. And we want to do that at the college up there, Howard, I believe it is.
We yes, want to Howard do it University.
Howard University. Every place we go, particularly in urban America, because that's been impacted most by these Democratic policies and politicians. So, and we live in urban America. So we want to get that information out, and prayerfully it'll make some changes.
It's great to hear. If you want to hear more from Barbara, head on over to Amazon and check out her book, Escaping the Racism of Low Expectations. Thank you, Barbara. And thank you, BB, for joining us tonight. And thank you all for joining us on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out. And all of the other shows over at AmericaOutLoud.com. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcast, or wherever you download your podcast. We'll see you guys next time. And remember, stand for something or you will fall for nothing.
Amen.